Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 18th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Monetary policy in focus around the world as the Fed kicks off its two-day meeting.
Mario Draghi says further rate cuts remain part of the ECB's toolkit.
President Trump's trade chief faces congressional questioning about the prospects of a deal with China.
The U.S. is sending additional troops to the Middle East as tensions grow with Iran. Plus, President Trump officially kicks off his run for a second term tonight. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Masahiro Tanaka pitched the Yankees over Tampa Bay, a complete game shutout. The Mets lost in Atlanta.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and bonds are rising this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 54, and NASDAQ futures up 38. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. CAC in Paris up 1%. FTSE 100 up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.7%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1%. 10-year Treasury up 15 32nds, yield 2.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.82%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% or 29 cents at $51.64 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $7.20 at $13.50.10 an ounce. And the yen at 108.27 against the dollar. John.
And we begin with the Fed, which begins a two-day policy meeting today. Most expect the central bank will likely hold the interest rates steady. Danny Blanchflower, former Bank of England Monetary Policy Committee member, disagrees. He told Jonathan Farrow on Bloomberg Surveillance, Jerome Powell and company should cut now.
So if it was me, this June meeting, looking at what the market thinks is coming, I would vote for a 50 basis point cut right now on the basis that if the economy improves, fine. Then we can always reverse it. But I think the great concern we have, all the economics is terrible at the turning point. We missed the turning point. And it certainly feels to me, and I've been saying it with you on this show for a really long time, those Fed rate rises were in error. And I think we're seeing a slowing coming.
The Fed decision is tomorrow, 2 p.m. Wall Street time.
Financial markets have gotten used to the Fed adjusting its benchmark interest rate in small increments. They might want to be ready for a change. The last two times the Fed began an easing cycle in 2001 and 2007, it opted for a 0.5% move over a 0.25-point adjustment.
And monetary policy also in focus in Europe this morning. Earlier this morning, Mario Draghi addressed his final ECB forum as president in Portugal. He said additional stimulus may be needed if the economic outlook doesn't improve.
Looking forward, the risk outlook remains tilted to the downside, and indicators for the coming quarters point to lingering softness. The risks that have been prominent throughout the past year, in particular geopolitical factors, the rising threat of protectionism, vulnerabilities in emerging markets, have not dissipated.
The euro is lower following Draghi's comments. Right now, 111.84, down 0.3% against the dollar.
The British economy may flatline in the second quarter, and according to a Bloomberg survey of economists, the Bank of England won't raise interest rates until well into next year. On Thursday, the central bank will announce its next decision on rates following a slew of disappointing economic data.
And in the UK, second ballot will be held in the leadership contest to choose Theresa May's successor. Let's get the very latest live with Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek in London. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, John and Karen. Well, Rory Stewart, the rank outsider in the competition, is starting to give his rivals a reason to worry. Officials working for three better-known contenders privately said they believe the International Development Secretary could deliver a major upset this week. Stewart is aiming to defy the odds and make it through voting today, tomorrow and on Thursday to a probable head-to-head against Boris Johnson, the favourite, next month. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thanks. In Asia, stocks were mostly higher with the MSCI Asia Pacific Index posting its first gain in five sessions. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Good morning, John and Karen. Well, one exception was Japan, as a stronger yen weighed on equities. BOJ Governor Kuroda said he sees US-China tensions rising. The yen, the best performing G10 currency, while the Nikkei 225 closed lower by 0.7% to 20,972 points in Tokyo. Stocks in Hong Kong were higher for a second day as government offices in the city reopened after the past week's protests. Australian stocks held on to December 2007 highs, while the Aussie dollar dropped for a fifth session to trade at its lowest level since March 2009, as the RBA minutes from their June meeting indicated another rate cut was more likely than not. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Julia, thank you. Trade in focus in Washington today as U.S. businesses square off over tariffs and the Trump administration gives lawmakers a briefing on its trade agenda. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has details.
Hundreds of companies and associations are testifying variously pro and con about the need for and negative impact of new tariffs on imports from China at hearings being conducted this week by the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative. And on Capitol Hill, Trade Rep Robert Lighthizer will be spelling out the administration's 2019 trade policy agenda today to the Senate Finance Committee, tomorrow to the House Ways and Means Committee. Lighthizer plans to focus on the timetable for ratification of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, as well as trade talks with the EU, Japan, and South Korea. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Analysts predict Apple could be seeing weaker than expected demand for iPhones. They say trade tensions have been hurting sales in China. JP Morgan cut its iPhone shipment forecast by 4%. Longbow Research says there are concerns that the ban on sales to Huawei will hurt iPhone demand in China.
Facebook is making a renewed push into payments, announcing plans for a cryptocurrency called Libra. It'll be governed by the Libra Association, a group of companies that will have an equal say in how the cryptocurrency is managed. Almost 30 firms, including Visa and MasterCard, have joined, and Facebook hopes another 70 or more will enter the fold in the future.
OPEC and its allies shifted focus to mid-July for the next meeting to discuss extending production cuts after talks between Russia and Iran made some progress toward resolving a standoff over the date. The oil producers group, which pumps more than half the world's crude, has been bickering for a month about the timing of ministerial talks. Brent crude this morning is down 0.7%. This is Bloomberg. At 6:07 on Wall Street, let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. The Pentagon is sending additional troops to the Middle East as tensions with Iran continue to grow over the attacks of oil tankers. Officials say the deployment includes security forces and troops for additional surveillance and intelligence gathering in the region. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The statement from Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan says the Trump administration will send about 1,000 more American troops to the Middle East as tensions between the U.S. and Iran continue to rise. He offered no details on where the troops will be deployed or what their missions might be. The U.S. has accused the Iranians of being behind attacks on two tankers in the Gulf of Oman last week, and it comes as Iran has announced that its uranium enrichment will pass through the threshold set on the 2015 nuclear agreement within days. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump on Twitter last night promised to remove immigrants in the U.S. illegally. The State Department reports that $185 million in assistance for El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala would be frozen until those nations act to reduce the number of migrants. President Trump heads to Orlando, Florida this evening to formally announce he's running for a second term. Dozens of Trump supporters have already set up chairs and tents to claim their spots in line outside the Amway Center, which only holds about 20,000 people. Orlando's chief of police, Orlando Roland.
Rest assured that we have basically incorporated everything and anything that will guarantee the safety or the protection of those that are coming to Orlando.
Roland says protesters have designated areas where they will be allowed to peacefully demonstrate. A neighborhood in northern New Jersey looks like a war zone after a home exploded. A possible gas explosion caused the collapse of a home in Ridgefield. The blast damaged the windows of other houses, leaving debris on the street, sidewalk, and vehicles. An off-duty police officer who lives nearby ran out of his home, hoping to help anyone injured.
We were able to take some wood out to make a big enough hole where he crawled out, and several officers and I, we helped him get out of the house.
The man inside the home was rushed to Hackensack University Medical Center and is in stable condition. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street, that's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, the Yankees just made a trade. They acquired one of baseball's top home run hitters, and Edwin Encarnacion made his debut in pinstripes last night. Most feel the Yankees are not done. That sometime the next month they'll swing a deal to improve the starting pitching, which has been the weak link. Although last night, Yanks could not have asked for a better performance. Masahiro Tanaka with a rare, complete game shutout. Allowed only two singles, one walk, 10 strikeouts. Yanks over Tampa Bay, 3-0. The manager, Aaron Boone.
I do think he got away with some pitches, but I thought the combination was, I felt like, the best I saw from him as far as fastball, slider, split, all of them playing a factor in tonight's game.
Home runs for DJ LeMayu and Cameron Maybin. Encarnacion went 0 for 4. GM Brian Cashman on his new slugger.
We've seen what he's done to us over the course of time. I mean, he's a very patient, powerful impact bat, and his makeup, you know, is off the chart. He's very well liked his teammates.
Giancarlo Stanton makes his return tonight. He's been out since April, ticketed as the DH. That'll now be Encarnacion's spot, which means Stanton is headed to the outfield, and Aaron Judge is headed back there soon. The Yanks lineup will finally be intact. Mets are in Atlanta. The Braves are baseball's hottest team. They made it 10 of the last 11, 12-3. Braves had 16 hits, 3 home runs. Zach Wheeler took the loss, and Jarice Familia followed him and yet again struggled mightily. Familia gave up 3 runs, only got 1 out. His ERA is now 8. Red Sox won their 6th in a row, 2-0 at Minnesota. Josh McCown, about to turn 40, calling it a career. Well-traveled, 17 years with 8 different teams. Spent the last 2 with the Jets. He's already landed a broadcasting job. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks a lot, John. And ahead of the open on Wall Street, we have S&P futures right now, 7 points higher. That's up 0.3%. The Dow futures, they're up 53 points right now. That's up 0.2. The Nasdaq E-mini futures, up 36 points. That's up 0.5%. Also have the 10-year yield in the U.S., 2.04%. That's a down 4 basis points. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak being brought to you by National Realty and RIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Mario Draghi nudged the ECB closer to pumping more stimulus into the economy, stressing that rate cuts and asset purchases are in the toolkit. Money markets are pricing in a 10 basis point rate cut by December. The Pentagon pledged to send about 1,000 more troops to the Middle East as tension mounts after last week's tanker attacks. China's holdings of treasuries fell to a 2-year low in April. Its stockpile declined by $7.5 billion to $1.11 trillion. And Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam refused to quit or officially withdraw her extradition bill that sparked the biggest protest in the city's history. She apologized instead. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 8 points. Dow futures up 58. NASDAQ futures up 40. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 14/32nds. Yield 2.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 37 cents at $51.56 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.40 at $13.49.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1188 against the dollar and the yen 108.30. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Human Rights Watch is calling on the UN Human Rights Council to investigate the death of Egypt's ousted President Mohamed Morsi, who collapsed and died inside a Cairo courtroom yesterday. President Trump is headlining a rally tonight in Orlando, Florida, to officially announce his reelection bid. Trump supporters have been lining up with folding chairs and tents outside the Amway Center, where the president will speak tonight. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost. The A's beat the Orioles 3-2. The Red Sox and Giants were winners. The Nationals game was postponed. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, monetary policy in the driver's seat for markets this morning. The Fed beginning a two-day meeting with traders pricing in future rate cuts. And, of course, Mario Draghi's, well, kind of his swan song at the European Central Bank. And he's got the same problem as he gets ready to leave his job as when he started his job. Let's bring in Bloomberg rate strategist Richard Jones this morning to walk us through all this monetary policy talk. Rich, Draghi opening the door to easing. How wide is the door been opened?
Hey, good morning to you, John. Yeah, I think that Mario Draghi definitely surprised the market a little bit with the sort of dovish take that he launched into this morning in Sintra in Portugal at the ECB's conference. I'd say that we're definitely now pricing a full 10 basis points rate cut before the end of the year. And I think that we can't rule out more QE. We can't rule out additional what you'd call unconventional monetary policy measures from the ECB. And, you know, the interesting thing for me, John, is the way the markets reacted. I mean, the euro is now back below 112 versus the dollar, which in and of itself isn't too strong a reaction. I think the more interesting market reaction for me is the way the rates markets have reacted.
Well, the bond yields, yeah.
Yeah, so bond yields are lower. You've seen a rally across all the sovereign bond curves in Europe, but you're also seeing UK yields falling on it. You're seeing US yields falling on it. I mean, you look at the two-year US yield at 183. That's down 3 basis points in the day. You know, that's just about 6 basis points below the lowest levels we saw earlier this month. Depending upon what we get from the Fed tomorrow, I mean, you could see this as the next leg lower, not only in European rates because of Mario Draghi, but also on the U.S. side.
The phrase pushing on a string comes to mind. You know, you got to wonder that the limits of monetary policy, especially for the European Central Bank. At some point, do they just have to admit that it's all about retiring debt?
I don't think they're ever going to admit that. I think what they're really going to focus on is the ECB will actually push for some of the fiscal measures to be put into place from European governments. The ECB has long said, look, we cannot be the only game in town. We need help in dealing with potential crises in the future. Now, as that becomes something that's a little bit more immediate than it has been over the past few years, I think the pressure on European governments will increase. Now, whether or not that actually yields any results is another question. But the ECB will do everything that it can, but it will still be putting pressure on the governments to actually help them on the fiscal side.
A little more tangential, how much can the policy spectrum change with new leadership?
Well, I think that is very much – there's a few questions to answer there. First, there are constraints on what the ECB can do. They've got restraints on what they can do with QE and how much QE they can do. But also, depending upon who succeeds Mario Draghi, we'll have to see whether they will be – as dovish as Draghi, less dovish, perhaps more dovish, and we don't have a clear idea.
I mean, do they become more Germanic?
Well, if we do get a German at the head of the ECB, and that's a definite possibility with Jens Weidmann of the Bundesbank being touted as a potential Draghi replacement, that's something to for them to consider. Does it become slightly more Germanic than it is now? That's not. We don't really know who's going to succeed Mario Draghi yet. We've only got 4 months before he goes, and we're not really that clear yet on who will succeed him.
Rich, on this side of the pond, are you anticipating a correction of Fed expectations from the market?
I expect actually the Fed to migrate more towards where market expectations are rather than vice versa. I think that the market leads the Fed. I think that's true. In recent years, I think that's very much true at the moment. I think we saw the Fed migrate towards the market in March. I think we'll get further migration towards the market tomorrow.
Okay. As far as the expectations, what, 3? Is that overdone, though?
Well, I think, you know, monetary policy changes quickly. 6 months ago, we were talking about the Fed maybe hiking again in 2019. That's definitely off the table. I could very easily see three rate cuts this year.
As far as the language, how much does that change? I mean, what word or lack of word are you looking for specifically?
I'm not sure we want to nail down exactly what the wording is, but I think what the Fed will do tomorrow is they'll set up July for a rate cut and say that they can do more. They try to keep their options open, but I think they will definitely soften the language tomorrow.
Always a pleasure. Bloomberg rate strategist Richard Jones this morning. Futures ahead of all this, the two-day Fed meeting beginning today. Point to a higher open on Wall Street. S&P futures up 8 points right now. The Dow futures up 65 points. The NASDAQ E-mini futures up 42. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks and bonds are rising as comments from Mario Draghi added fuel to investors' hopes for easier monetary policies from the world's biggest central banks. Draghi nudged the ECB closer to pumping more stimulus into the economy, highlighting that growing risks are increasing the case for action.
In the absence of improvement, such that the sustained return of inflation to our aim is threatened, additional stimulus will be required.
And Draghi spoke at the ECB's annual forum in Sintra, Portugal.
Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve begins its two-day meeting on the interest rates, and Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The chorus on Wall Street and in Washington is calling for a rate cut, but economists surveyed by Bloomberg say the Fed will stand pat this week. Wednesday's policy statement at Fed Chair Jerome Powell's news conference could provide valuable clues for the weeks and months ahead, maybe even a wink and a nod. For now, it may be a close call, as last week's data on retail sales and industrial production surprised to the upside. Evidence America's economy retains gusto. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Facebook is unveiling a digital currency. It's called Libra, and it'll be a so-called stable coin. That's a digital currency that lives on the blockchain and is pegged to established government currencies and securities. Libra comes out next year at the earliest.
On the earnings front, Adobe reports after the close of trading. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
It is predicted that Adobe will report steady sales growth. Bloomberg Intelligence says the IT spending environment is strong. It notes Salesforce.com reported strong demand for cloud marketing solutions when it posted earnings, and that should bode well for Adobe's digital experience segment. Analysts predict Adobe will post an adjusted profit of $1.78 a share on revenue of $2.7 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. The rally in Beyond Meat shares continues. The stock is up another 9% to a record high. The faux meat company is up about 600% since its May IPO. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And right now, S&P futures are up 10 points. Dow futures up 79. NASDAQ futures up about 50. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 13 32nds, yield 2.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 39 cents to $51.55 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.5%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And 6:33 Wall Street. Time now for news from around the world, and we say good morning once again to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. The Pentagon plans to send about 1,000 more troops to the Middle East as tensions rise between the U.S. and Iran. It comes as President Trump seemed to downplay the recent tanker attacks blamed on Iran. Speaking to Time magazine, the president says so far it's been very minor. Meanwhile, State Department spokesperson Morgan Ortegas says Iran is looking to expand its nuclear program to force the U.S. to repeal sanctions.
We continue to call on the Iranian regime not to obtain a nuclear weapon, to abide by their commitments to the international community.
The U.S. has accused Iran of nuclear extortion. President Trump is set to formally announce his 2020 bid tonight in Orlando, Florida. Trump supporters have already lined up outside the Amway Center where the president will speak. John Stewart lashed out at Mitch McConnell after the Senate majority leader said he didn't know why the comedian was all bent out of shape about the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund bill that has been idling in the Senate. Stewart spoke on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
I'm bent out of shape for them. These are the first heroes and veterans and victims of the great trillions of dollars war on terror.
McConnell says we have never failed to address this issue, and we will address it again. The State Department has confirmed that a New Jersey man is the eighth tourist to die recently in the Dominican Republic. Joseph Allen, who was 55, was from Avenel. Allen was found dead in his hotel room at Terra Linda in Sousa last week. Hong Kong's leader apologized today for an unpopular extradition bill that drew massive protests and indicated that it will not be revived during the current legislative session. But Chief Executive Carrie Lam did not formally retract the legislation. Lam also said she hopes to finish her term. Meanwhile, there is some normalcy in Hong Kong today. That's where we'll find Bloomberg's Karen Lee.
Hong Kong reopened central government headquarters closed off after a historic protest on Sunday that called for leader Carrie Lam to resign over a bill allowing extraditions to China. Police have also dialed back their categorization of some clashes with protesters last week near the city's legislative building as a riot, which has certain legal ramifications. Dropping that description was a key demand of Sunday's demonstration. In Hong Kong, Karen Lee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, that's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, they say the Yankees don't have a true ace pitcher yet. Masahiro Tanaka certainly looked like one last night. Best start of his career, complete game, 2-hit shutout, 10 strikeouts. If nothing else, Tanaka can shut down Tampa Bay. 3 starts versus the Rays. He's allowed only 1 earned run, has 23 Ks. DJ LeMahieu, 2-run homer, solo shot for Cameron Maben, who's homered in 3 straight games, and the Yanks beat the Rays 3-0 to move game and a half ahead in the AL East. They've added Edwin Encarnacion. He made his debut, and tonight they welcome back Giancarlo Stanton, who's been out for 2 months. Long night for the Mets, 12-3 loss in Atlanta. Ronald Acuna led off the game with a home run off Zach Wheeler, who took the loss. The relievers that followed Wheeler, Jarris Familia and Drew Gagnon, combined to surrender 7 runs in less than 2 innings. Manager Mickey Callaway, usually upbeat about his team, not so much last night.
Yeah, you're pushing guys that, you know, have to pick up other guys, but that's what teams have to do. When one guy fails at something, the next guy's got to step up in his stead and get the job done, and we're not doing it. We're going to keep on running them out there until they do, or we're going to have to get some new ones.
So a subtle hint, changes could be coming. Crowd of 1.5 million out in Toronto for the Raptors championship parade that was marred by a shooting. 4 people shot and wounded, all with non-life-threatening injuries. Police made 3 arrests, and police in the Dominican Republic say they have identified the man who orchestrated the shooting of David Ortiz. Rangers have made a trade, sent their first-round pick in Friday's draft to Winnipeg for defenseman Jacob Trouba, even though he's going to be a restricted free agent. The Nets declined the qualifying offer for Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He becomes a free agent. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks a lot. 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Theresa May will be remembered as the prime minister who couldn't deliver Brexit. But she leaves another troubling legacy, her failure to confront what she's called the UK's burning injustices. Britain is a rich country, but it scores badly on a range of social measures. Income inequality is high and economic mobility is low. Pockets of deep poverty persist. Disparities in education and health are pronounced. May has acknowledged these problems, but has done little to solve them. During her brief tenure, many have grown worse. Cuts to local government budgets have undermined care for the elderly, for example. And a once promising welfare reform, known as universal credit, was bungled. These issues demand to be addressed, not just named. Yet the candidates vying to succeed May have shown little appetite for grappling with them. The UK should demand more from its leaders. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Supreme Court justices are voluntarily moving away from potential conflicts by selling shares in public companies. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Three justices hold individual stocks, Chief Justice John Roberts, Stephen Breyer, and Samuel Alito. New financial disclosure forms show that three voluntarily reduced their combined holdings from 73 companies in 2014 to 40 now. Bloomberg Law's Kimberly Robinson says holding individual stocks is not prohibited, but critics argue it's a bad policy.
They say that even if the justices themselves don't think that they're going to be conflicted, it gives the public the wrong perception.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
And it's now 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. The Association for Neighborhood Housing and Development, this is an advocacy group, recently released a report based on interviews with immigrant small business owners in four New York City neighborhoods in Manhattan, Queens, and the Bronx, owners of shops and restaurants. They found that 77% were overburdened by rent. Well, that's a finding not lost on Noel Donovan, who hails from Ireland and is now a managing partner at Bloom's Tavern on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
We will see in the city a lot of changes. A lot of, like, places are going to shut down. A lot of places are, sadly, like, a lot of mom and dad places are going to close. And a lot of, a lot of the great places have been around a long time. It just certain things can't sustain.
The association reports also finds 40% of respondents reported instances of landlord harassment. More than a quarter of the employers were forced to lay people off because of high rents. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. S&P futures right now 11 points higher. The Dow futures, they're up 91. This is Daybreak. And still ahead, we'll break down comments from Mario Draghi as the ECB potentially pushes on a string. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are higher. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading on their highs after Draghi saw the prospect of more ECB stimulus. Dow futures now up 103 points. S&P's gained 14, while the Nasdaq futures climbed by 63. The U.S. 10-year yield fell to 2.05%. Gold is higher and oil is trading lower. And in overseas markets, Hong Kong gained 1% overnight, while European markets are also climbing, led by 1% gains in France, Germany, and Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, housing starts estimate 1.24 million. And in others, Facebook is trading higher by 2.3% pre-market. Citigroup said their crypto plan is a path to printing even more money. Also, small-cap MoneyGram is soaring 152% in the pre-market after blockchain startup Ripple bought a stake. Wrapping things up, Bank of America was upgraded to outperform at BMO. SunPower upgraded to buy at Goldman Sachs. And KB Home downgraded to underperform over at Raymond James. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the U.S. is sending another 1,000 troops to the Mideast as tensions with Iran intensify. In recent days, Washington has accused Iran of attacking two tankers near the Persian Gulf. Hong Kong's embattled leader apologized today for an unpopular extradition bill that drew massive protest and indicated it will not be revived during the current legislative session. But Chief Executive Carrie Lam did not formally retract the legislation, which would allow some suspects to face trial in mainland Chinese courts. Lam also shrugged off calls for her resignation. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, the A's beat the Orioles 3-2, the Red Sox and Giants were winners, the national game was postponed. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, eating food with expired dates won't kill you. So says Mom's Organic Market founder, Scott Nash, who ate yogurt that was months past due and other ancient food as part of a year-long experiment. Nash told the Washington Post that some foods shouldn't be dated at all. John Nash says expiration dates just tell you when the manufacturer thinks the product will stop tasting its best and not whether it's safe to eat.
Just do what I do. Look at the amount of mold on it.
That was my plan. I didn't know ramen noodles could go bad. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Michael Barr, this is Bloomberg, John.
Testing the limits of botulism. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check out what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital this morning include the Pentagon planning to send about 1,000 more troops to the Middle East as tensions rise between the U.S. and Iran. And the Pentagon sharing new photos and a timeline of those Gulf oil tanker attacks. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us now with more on these and some of the other stories we're following out of Washington this morning. It sounds almost like on one side you have the tensions increasing, but President Trump seemed to appear to downplay some of those tensions in the Middle East.
Yeah, I think the Trump administration right now is really trying to thread the needle. In some ways, they're trying to sort of carry a big stick by signaling that they're going to send a slightly increased military presence to the Middle East, I think, to try to make sure that there are forces there that can ensure the safety of the forces that are already there and of U.S. interests, shipping interests, and otherwise. And on the other hand, I think Trump is mindful of the fact that his policy towards Iran has been one that's fairly hardline. And so I think he's trying to kind of talk a tough game while also signaling that they would prefer a solution other than any kind of conflict.
All right, what's the next step here?
Well, I think that potentially the next step is in some ways, I think it's in Iran's court in the sense that the U.S. has been blaming Iran for these attacks. Iran has denied that. I think if there were to be some other kind of attack on an oil tanker or some other kind of military or, you know, conflict-based escalation, I think then the question would be how the U.S. would respond to that.
What do those new photos show?
So I think what we're seeing here is, you know, something that the Pentagon is really holding up as further evidence of the fact in their mind, or the claim, I guess we should say the claim, since Iran's denied it, that Iran was responsible for these two attacks last week on oil tankers. And I think that what they're hoping, the Pentagon's hoping at least, is that this will help drive that point home, or their claim home, in the court of public opinion.
Okay. Also making news this morning, Kathleen, President Trump's top trade envoy will be in the congressional hot seat for a couple of days this week. We're talking about Robert Lighthizer.
Yeah, and I think that what we're likely to see, the timing of this is particularly interesting. We're going to see Mr. Lighthizer testifying on both sides of the Capitol, to the Senate and the House. And I think that members of Congress are going to be very, very interested to see what, if anything, he can tell them about what the U.S. is anticipating heading into the G20 summit in Osaka, which is coming up very quickly later this month. And that summit is interesting for a lot of different reasons, one of the main ones being that the plan seems to have been for Trump to sit down with Xi Jinping personally and talk about the status and perhaps renew trade talks that collapsed earlier this year, back in May. And so I think that that's going to be really significant if that meeting happens. And I think members of Congress are likely to press Mr. Lighthizer this week on, you know, whether that meeting is going to happen and specifically what the U.S. might want to accomplish when and if Trump does sit down with Xi. Now, I would be surprised if the U.S. wants to, if the administration wants to really tip its hand on that score, but that won't stop lawmakers from asking the questions.
It's more than likely he'll get some criticism from Democrats, but what about Republicans during these hearings?
Well, I think this is one of those cases where we're likely to see Republicans have perhaps as tough questions for a Trump administration official as their Democratic counterparts, because we know that the implications of these tariffs have been very intensely felt in farm states and rural communities that tend to be represented by Republicans more so than Democrats. Some of folks like Chuck Grassley of Iowa, who will get a chance to question Lighthizer this week, have been very, very critical of Trump's policy towards China and also towards Mexico. And so I would expect to hear some, you know, very, very pointed questions, if not, you know, difficult questions being posed by from the Republican side of the dais as well.
From another branch of government, the Supreme Court rejecting a bid to expand double jeopardy protections. Tell us why this is important.
So this dovetails with an issue that's been very much in the news, which is the question of Trump's ability to issue presidential pardons and what limits might exist for presidential pardons. And essentially, what the Supreme Court did yesterday was it essentially upheld a provision that would have it's a decades-old rule that limited the scope of the ban on double jeopardy. And so essentially what that would have done is it could have meant that a presidential pardon power would expand, because it could have meant, if they'd ruled differently, that the president would have had more power to issue a pardon that would also cover state charges, potentially state charges. And it looks like that hasn't happened. So what we've seen essentially is the court keeping the current limits on presidential pardon power.
President Trump closer to filling a key gap on his national security team. Who is this? What job are we talking about here? Got about a minute left.
And so this is, all part of Trump kind of filling out his national security team. What we're seeing is the Senate panel this week is going to take up the nomination of Kelly Craft, who would be the UN ambassador. And she's also served as an envoy to Canada. And so I think that this is an example of what we're likely to see as someone who could replace Nikki Haley, who's retired, and someone who has, some complicated views as it comes to some views on climate change that could complicate her Senate confirmation. And so that's something to watch closely in the coming days.
Kathleen, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And also a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Green Report, and here's Bob Moon.
Amazon.com, ExxonMobil, and Volvo were among more than 700 companies being targeted in a campaign backed by a large group of investors advocating for greater transparency with environmental data. HSBC Global Asset Management, Investec Asset Management, and close to 85 other investors representing a combined $10 trillion in assets are asking companies to comply with the reporting process managed by the Carbon Disclosure Project, a British nonprofit research group that solicits and scores corporate environmental disclosures. ExxonMobil said in an emailed statement that it no longer participates in the Carbon Disclosure Project survey because its publicly available material provides a comprehensive and meaningful perspective. Amazon, meantime, said it has set a goal to reach 50% of all Amazon shipments with net zero carbon by 2030. Volvo didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. And we're watching shares of MoneyGram this morning up 151%. MoneyGram International is soaring after blockchain technology company Ripple purchased a stake and entered a partnership for international money transfers. Also watching Tesla, those shares up 1.9%. Sources tell Bloomberg that Tesla is revamping its organization in Asia to put more focus on China as the company prepares to start manufacturing in the world's largest electric car market. And futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up 14 points. Dow futures up 108. NASDAQ futures up 67. And Bloomberg surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.